Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back on this Thursday, the 18th day of April, 2024, to another edition of the Come Out of Her, My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and I'm going to do something just a bit different today, simply because of the anniversary that's coming up tomorrow, April the 19th. Because after all, it's not like things aren't already absolutely insane and getting worse. And what I mean by that is that April the 19th is one of the most important anniversaries in history. Certainly because it's the anniversary of the shot heard around the world, April the 19th, 1775, Lexington and Concord Green, where redcoats, even then attempting gun confiscation for the tyrannical King George III, fired on American Minutemen, and the shot heard around the world, began the war for American independence and a revolution that changed the world forever. Without question, folks, this is the real Patriots' Day. And 419 is certainly a date that has marked turning points for both liberty and tyranny. On April the 19th, 1943, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising against the Nazis began on this day. In 1861, Abraham Lincoln ordered a blockade of Confederate ports that ultimately kicked off what's been called either the American Civil War or the War to Prevent Southern Independence. And ultimately, as we now see in hindsight, marked the end of the Constitution as a voluntary compact among free and independent states. And in 1933, climaxing a series of acts of tyranny, the American dictator Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued a proclamation putting another wooden stake in the concept of honest weights and measures and removing the U.S. from the official gold standard. And he'd already led up to that by stealing most of the American people's gold already. Tragically, though, other anniversaries of 419 in more recent history have been ever more sinister, even satanic. During the Clinton regime, the final solution to a bunch of people in a church, Saturday worship keepers in Waco, Texas, was also executed on this date, April the 19th, 1993. And as my friend, the late investigative researcher Mike McNulty proved beyond any doubt, those who weren't burned alive by the FBI and federal troops were executed by Delta Force and other snipers hiding out back, out of view of the cameras. And 2 years to the day later, April the 19th, 1995, the criminal team destroyed the evidence that remained at the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City by blowing it up via demolition charges set on steel-reinforced concrete columns, as has been demonstrated multiple times since then, and then blaming it on a scapegoat and his puny but ever-growing truck bomb named Tim McVeigh. They killed a whole lot of people there, too, including children, and all of the perpetrators not only got off scot-free, Don Horiyuchi went into witness protection, and one of the scumbags who tried to make sure the truth would never come out, especially in Congress, later was stuffed into office as the senile alleged president of the United States. And the quarter century since has proven just how ignorant the American people are of American history, because things have gone steadily downhill from those two acts of state terrorism, and obviously emboldened by their success, they've been up in the ante, tightening the Orwellian screws and killing more and more people ever since. Obviously, the day has pagan significance as well. It's certainly a day when people need to be paying attention and watching. And ultimately, folks, this is why I suggest that 419, April the 19th, is one of those days where, for both good and for ill, big things tend to happen. They generally have to do with tyranny, and they push the scales one way or another. So, what I intend to do today is to talk about a number of things that are based on this idea of April the 19th, the day of the shot heard around the world, a day that literally involves a kind of a continuing historical understanding for both tyranny and for actions that tend to try to reverse tyranny. In other words, it's what I like to call a cusp, a day when certain things just kind of tend to come together. And what struck me this year in particular is the confluence of so many other things that are coming together. We've certainly seen within the last week a number of attempts to push World War III. We're seeing some things going on in the whorehouse that's called Congress, that I'll talk about in just a minute, that make that same point. The April 19th day coming up tomorrow, of course, is a day that I have suggested for years people need to be paying attention to. It certainly has a lot of pagan significance, like some other days. 9/11 is one, and of course, the end of October. Halloween is another. There are some pagan holy days that you just need to be paying attention to, whether it's crime or terrorism. A lot of things tend to happen, and sometimes they're good things when people fight back, but often it's the converse. The other one that's coming up, and this is really interesting, this is kind of what inclined me to do this show today, has to do with Passover or Pesach. Now, as you probably are aware, oftentimes on many calendars, the paganized day for they like to call it Ishtar Sun God Day. And most of us that have been through the Torah and understand realize that while Good Friday to Sun God Day morning and the Ishtar services have nothing to do with the dates at which he was actually executed and then put in the tomb, and 3 days and three nights followed. I believe he was out of the tomb, and I think you can pretty well show that from Scripture by the time that it began to dawn on the first day of the week, which would have been at the end of the Sabbath, in other words, on Saturday evening. But regardless, the point is there are a whole lot of times when these confluences show up with the paganized day called Easter, and I do prefer Resurrection Sunday if you want. But that day often is very closely related to Passover. This year, on most calendars, not all of them, it's about a month different. And that, too, is kind of an interesting thing because now it brings Passover into confluence with this April 19th day or very close by. Certainly, as you know, we've had recent events that are harbingers or warnings, signs in the sky, like the eclipse. Nothing happened on the eclipse. Honestly, I didn't expect it to. The eclipse is just, if you believe that it is a sign of things to come, a warning about what is to come, but the date is not necessarily specified. Now, one other thing that I think was interesting, and I hadn't thought about it until I started putting together some ideas for the show today, and that is that one of the variants that you'll see when it comes to the timing of various Moedim or the set-apart feasts, and I realize there are lots of people that have different opinions. I don't necessarily have a personal opinion, but I cannot support it from Scripture, so I'll say it. It's just my opinion. But as for me and my house, we tend to follow the sighted moon, based on my understanding that let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It certainly looks to me like historically that was the way it's done, and they would sight the new moon, the shofar would be blown, there'd be signal fires that would be lit, and they would say, hey, the new moon has been sighted. And the countdown for the various spring and fall feasts, like the Passover, would begin. And if you remember the dates on the 10th day and so forth, these things that were scheduled to happen would happen. The lamb would be selected, and then a few days later, the lamb would be sacrificed and so forth. Well, in the fall feast, we have the same thing. As a matter of fact, this day of the Jewish term is Rosh Hashanah, but it's really Yom Teruah, the day of shouting or the day of trumpets. That is the only one of the official Moedim of Yah that happens on the day that no man knows the hour of the day. Hey, isn't that an amazing thing? Because no one knows it until it's actually sighted. And by the way, if it's cloudy in Jerusalem, they couldn't sight it. So a lot of things coming together. What interested me this year, and this is why I'm going through this relatively long introduction, is we had a sign in the sky, unlike anything else that's ever happened in my lifetime, at least, that I can remember, that affects the date of Passover or might. And that's the following. Right? If we normally can't see the new moon because it's too close to the sun, you literally can't spot it. You can't really see it until a day or so after the time of the calculated new moon, because you have to wait until you can see a sliver in the evening sky, and then the witnesses sight it and they blow the shofar and so forth. So usually the new moon would be sighted a day or so later. Well, wait a minute. Come to think about it, this particular year, this eclipse was sighted by millions of people worldwide. They could see it in the sky. They could project it with literally the ancients could have done this. I'm sure they noticed that if you had things with pinholes in them, you could see the sun on a surface, the shadow. You could see the moon literally taking a bite out of the sun. So guess what? There were millions upon millions of people at this particular new moon that saw it and knew precisely within seconds when the exact time of the new moon was and when the moon started to go out on the other side. So I decided that, as for me and my house, we don't have to wait for the witnesses to spot it a day later. Millions of folks, that's more than two or three, saw it on the actual day. So what that means is we are actually celebrating the Pesach Seder, the meal, about a day earlier than most of the calendars would say, because everybody saw it during the eclipse. Now, what does that mean? Answer, I'm not sure. But what it does mean is that there are a lot of dates. These are dates certain, either calculated or things that we've seen that have happened already. And they're coming in a close conjunction from April 19th, this pagan high day, to a day that is arguably one of the most holy in all of human history, the day of the Passover and the things that it represents. And yes, the time of the day of the offering of first fruits. In other words, the countdown that starts the counting of the Omer in the 50 days leading up to Shavuot. Some say Pentecost for 50 days, but I like the Hebrew, as you know. In any case, all of that is coming to a head, coming to a count, that the count begins for the Omer, so much on this very weekend. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a time to remember who we serve. It's certainly a time to be paying attention, and it's a time to be wary and wise and know the times and the seasons as well. So with that in mind, that's what I wanted to talk about today. It's a number of things that I'm going to lay out and make clear, because if there's anything about April the 19th that I have been emphasizing, it's this idea of a time for liberty and freedom on the one hand, and the continuing battle against terror and satanic evil on the other hand, that's coming to a head. Perhaps never much more so than what we're seeing laid out in so many ways over recent days and coming up over recent days as well. So we literally have all kinds of things. I've mentioned the World War III. We have terror, as you can imagine. Lots and lots of cells, literally millions of military-age males that have been allowed into the country, distributed to their cells. They're ready to do whatever it is that they're called to do, whenever they're called to do it. You won't know until afterwards. There is blackmail going on. I'll come back to that. There is lots of whoring and sellouts going on, and maybe that's the same thing. Certainly we're seeing the push towards World War III. As I do this show, Israel has decided not for the time being to escalate an attack, and that's probably the wisest decision that they've made, and there may be some other reasons for it as well. I've talked about that, and that's not germane here, but suffice it to say it ain't over. That could still change. And finally, there's this, because the other thing that I couldn't help but think about was the weekly Torah portions that have been associated with this time frame, because, of course, the weekly Torah portions are taught and read in the synagogues and messianic places literally now for decades by the messianics, and for longer than that by the rabbinic Jews and so forth. The week's Torah portion last week was called Tazria. It had to do with this malady, a plague that, well, they call it leprosy. It's not leprosy, folks. It never was leprosy. Hansen's disease has nothing to do with this. And the sages, most doctors will tell you, whatever this thing was, if they believe that it ever existed at all, that is called the idea of Zara'at. And the person that has it is not called a leper. It's called a metzora in the Hebrew. And a lot of the best of the Hebrew renderings will just say, hey, we don't know what the English word is because we have no equivalent disease. English wasn't spoken when this thing was common. So let's just leave it in the language that it was so that it's clear. It's not leprosy. It's Zara'at. Well, in any case, the point is there is a lot of discussion, and I'm not going to go through the whole teaching here, but I will note that I think it's a pretty good case to be made, let me put it that way, that this malady is associated with the evil tongue. Whether it's saying things or doing things that are evil that cost people money, jobs, position, or that just destroy their reputations and so forth. So many ways that Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue, is a curse upon society. And what's striking to me is that during the time when the Creator would inflict this thing upon people that were so deserving because of their evil tongues to be shunned by society and to be publicly humiliated, well, it came out, and obviously you can see, and if you've seen some of the biblical movies, it had a big effect on people. And it was declared by the Kohen or the priest that someone has it, and then they were supposed to run around and shout, Tameh, Tameh, in other words, I'm unclean, unclean. And the thing that I thought was so fascinating is we're at a place now where this has not been seen for hundreds of years, maybe more than a millennium. And as a result, what do we got? We've got Tameh Tameh that has affected the entire society. Look around at the world and ask yourself, can you imagine a Biden-Fuhrer or a Mayorkas or any of the other myriad liars and evil-tongued scumbags masquerading as senators and representatives and bureaucrats having to run around with, you know, the skin falling off their faces, yelling, to me, I'm unclean, which would be blatantly true. But I guess there'd be so many of them that where would they go, right? The society is already unclean. You can't very well put them out of the clean camp because they're already in an unclean place. So what I have said is, interestingly, I think that's one of the reasons why we have not seen this thing for millennia is because the Creator finally said, I've had enough. I'm going to turn my back on you. You're going to holler out to me, and I'm not going to answer. And then you will just see how this plays out. Well, we're seeing it. And I came up with one other thing that really struck me when I was teaching this last Sabbath, and that is it wouldn't make any sense for people like the Biden-Fuhrer or Mayorkas or these scumbags that I'll talk about in a second in the Congress, Mike Gallagher, Mike Johnson, any others, to have to run around shouting, Tame, Tame, because, here it comes, they have no shame. That was the point of this Zaraat. It was to shame the people who were caught publicly by saying, you are unclean. You don't deserve to be part of this community. We're going to kick you out of the camp. You stay out of there till you clean up your act. Well, folks, they have no shame. There would be no point in this malady even existing. And I think that is it speaks volumes for what we're at, where we're at, what's going on. Everything from the COVID poke to the lies about it. I mean, Fauci would have been afflicted with it before he killed his first people with the AIDS crap that he was pushing decades ago. But it hasn't happened. So that is one of the things that I want to make sure is on the table. When you look at the confluence of events, all the things that are going on here, it's just amazing to me how many of them are coming together and how many of them show essentially a couple things. The society has got to the point where it's not just insane. It's not just satanically evil and writ large. It's that these people just plain have no shame. And about the only thing that they haven't come right out and said, well, actually some of them have, but we're not hearing it from the Biden-Fuhrer yet. We haven't heard it from Mike Gallagher or some of these other folks, is, hey, I serve the Satan, Lucifer. I love the bad guy, and I don't care if you know it. But you know what? They're awfully, awfully close to it, and it may be that when this confluence kind of comes to a head, we're going to see that. And that is what will, in fact, I think, leave people with I won't say no choice, I'll say a real choice to make. Choose this day whom you will serve. Because if there's anything that is kind of the final hurdle, in my opinion, to be jumped before we get to the outright mark of the beast, it's that this choice to serve the adversary to the Creator of the universe must be voluntary. Now, I have watched as a lot of people have been duped. But I actually think that there'll come a time when the gloves are not only off and the velvet glove hiding the iron fist is revealed, but that they'll even be able to see, look who's wielding it. Hint, it's not the Creator of the universe. It's not the God of the Bible. It is something antithetical to that and so beyond our concept of evil that people are going to have to say, well, I'm going to choose to serve that rather than this God of the Bible. And I don't doubt for a second. You can see it. It's being taught in the cesspools, the public schools. It's being taught in the hospitals where the doctors basically say, screw you, I want you to take this injection. Do I know it's killing people? Well, I might be too stupid to look at the data, and I might be too stupid to recognize the number of patients that I've injected that have died with myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, blood clots, and I don't look at the embalming data. In other words, these are just plain evil people or they're beyond stupid. But one way or another, folks, it is impossible, and getting more so, to hide who it is that they really serve. And that is the thing that I keep emphasizing. That, of course, is why I do this show, Come Out of Her, My People, because if it's not obvious, and if it's not getting more obvious by the day, rest assured, it will be very soon absolutely undeniable. And the pressure to conform is what is enticing and literally forcing a lot of people, like these scumbags in Congress, to say, oh, I know I put my hand on the Bible. I know I took an oath before God. Screw him and the horse he rode in on. I'm going to do what greases my skids, crosses my palm with silver. These are satanically evil folks. Let's not kid ourselves about it. They have no shame, and it's getting worse. So, case in point, I mentioned this. Let me just do two of the quick stories if you hadn't already seen this. This came out this afternoon, and I'm going to do them in a slightly reverse order for the way that they came out. They're both actually from the Gateway Pundit, among other places, but I like the idea. So I'll read the headline of the first story, then I'll go to the one that I'm going to start with. And it says, this is the uniparty reveal. Speaker Mike Johnson, scumbag incarnate, is going to go ahead and pass Biden's almost $100 billion foreign aid bill. Screw the American people. Leave the borders open. But we got a border in Ukraine we really care about. As for you Americans, oh hell, why would we bring in 10 million communist Chinese, MS-13, and other foreign troops if we didn't want you dead? Matter of fact, why would we have given you the poison poke if we didn't want you dead? So they are, again, doing what the Gateway Pundit rightly calls the uniparty reveal. Mike Johnson is shown to be the traitor that he is. But wait, there's more. Now, here's the key. Johnson is using Democrats. So he supposedly is a conservative Republican. Yeah, sure. But it's the Democrats that are literally calling his shots, and he's going to do their will. And the Biden Fuhrer says he's so thrilled by what Johnson's helping him do, he's going to sign it right away. Okay, or at least his puppet master is going to put a pen in his hand and put an X in front of him. All right, then there's this. And I mentioned this story a week or so ago. It goes like this. There is a rhino from Wisconsin, a true scumbag sellout named Mike Gallagher. And as you probably know or you may have heard, he, along with a rhino from Colorado named Ken Buck, and I know that scumbag, decided that he was going to resign from the House of Horse. And had he left immediately when he announced that he was going to resign, matter of fact, had he left any time, if he had any integrity, before April the 9th, there would have been a special election in his district. So what did he decide to do? He's going to hang on until, guess what day? April the 19th. That was when he thought he was going to retire. But wait a minute. Now there is a bit of whoring to be done in the House. The Uniparty is saying we want to pass this this bill that says let's send another $100, $100 billion fiat bucks that we can't make anyway other than just by printing them. And who cares? A dollar's already dead. Stick a fork in it. They're going to send another $100 billion to Ukraine. So Mike Gallagher has said, oh, well, in that case, if I can whore myself out a little bit more, I'll stick around for another day. So, not only has he avoided a special election by retiring when anybody with integrity would have, he's now going to hang around for another day so that he can help do the Biden Fuhrer's bidding. And as the Zero Hedge story, I'm sorry, well, both Zero Hedge and the Gateway Pundit, this is how the Uniparty works. They're doing everything they can to screw the voters and those people that put them there and their oath of office before a God that they clearly hate, because why would they lie to everybody that they've been, deceiving for so long otherwise? Yeah, it's the evil tongue, folks, but they have no shame. Now, it might be recalled, says the story here from the Gateway Pundit, that Gallagher also voted with the rhinos and against the Mayorkas impeachment. Hey, we've got an invasion to keep going. And the $1.2 trillion spending bill that got more support from the leftists on the openly communist side than it did Republicans. And he also is a big fan of the FISA Section 702. Let's say the hell with the Fourth Amendment and the hell with your right to freedom of being free in your persons, houses, papers, and effects from warrantless searches, because we love warrantless searches. We're going to tap you and do anything we want to you. Now he's staying through the weekend to vote for the Uniparty sellout. And what else is new, right? This is the kind of thing, folks, that you can't make up, but there's more. And I'll point this out just as we hear the music hopefully start to come up. And that more is Gallagher is going to be awarded with the highest civilian honor, well, that a whore can receive from the United States LGBTQ++ Navy. They call it the Distinguished Public Sellout Award. No, that's not what they call it, but that's what it is. Distinguished Public Service Award from the transgendered sailors in pink and high heels. And what they've done essentially here is to say that the Navy has now done to the Distinguished Public Sellout Award by giving it to an own traitor exactly what the Nobel Peace Prize Committee did when they gave that award to Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, for no particular reason whatsoever, except making a laughingstock out of the Nobel Peace Prize. And I guess now, with the benefit of 2020 hindsight, we can realize the common connection here. It's not about giving somebody an award for doing anything public service-oriented or positive, certainly not with respect to peace or furthering truth, justice, and the American way. No, it's about destroying what's left of the American Republic, killing as many people as possible, and being ultimately a complete traitor and sellout. That gets you all kinds of honor from the deep state and its satanic master. And with that, folks, we're at the bottom of the hour break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, this is the Come Out of Her, My People Show, second segment today. And as I went to the break, I was talking about yet another of the, in this case, probably worst of the whores, the sellouts. Is he being blackmailed? Honestly, I don't care. I wouldn't doubt it, because that was why Section 702 is so important to be reauthorized and make sure that they get it in there, because it's not just Congress and the bureaucrats that they want to be able to control like they are doing so blatantly and clearly. It's everybody. But in any case, as far as this bill is concerned, and the reason why Gallagher gets the Distinguished Sellout Award from the LGBTQ++ Navy is because he's going to hang around for an extra day and make sure that the Biden Fuhrer and the regime gets all of the Ukraine funding that they want, as well as some other things. Listen to this. The $95 billion package provides an additional $61 billion for Ukraine and some other things. But ultimately, if this Congress is really hot to pass it, one thing you can guarantee yourself, folks, is it's got nothing to do with benefits for Americans of any kind, even if they're telling you so. Worse, says the Gateway Pundit, the package Johnson announced midweek includes terms that allow the fake president to cancel half of Ukraine's existing debt after November 15th of this year. What happens in November? The next election rig comes up. Maybe, if the election happens at all. So he can immediately cancel half the debt, and then the remaining half after January the next year. No wonder the Biden Fuhrer was told to come out strongly in favor of the package that the whore in the speaker's chair is going to make sure it gets passed with Democrats' help. As a matter of fact, they're doing a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes maneuvers, as you can probably guess. And if Trump is allowed to win the election, and if they have an election, Biden can cancel half of the debt before his term ends. And then if they can pull off another bunch of money, they can do what they're doing with student loans and essentially say, hey, we printed the money, and now you guys are going to suffer for it. This isn't a loan, say all the people covering it. It's a handout. Well, we knew that. And Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia introduced a number of amendments to the swamp's package to cut the funding to Ukraine and instead say, hey, you know, we got people that are dying as a result of the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment. How about them? Screw them, was the response. How about the Hawaii wildfire disaster? Or was it really a wildfire at all? And the missing kids and stuff. Nope, screw them too. And how about securing the southern border? Well, we don't want that to happen, because the real issue, of course, is an invasion. And there are all kinds of other pieces, parts in here. But ultimately, the thing that I want to point out is they have no shame. One more bit from the article that I mentioned up front, and Johnson and some of the things that are going on behind the scenes there. It's kind of interesting. It also kind of goes to this idea of how I started the show, a confluence of a number of events not just April 19th and the anniversary of the shot heard around the world, but other things as well, like Passover coming up and all of these machinations in Congress and people, you know, crapping upon their oath of office. And that's as kind as I can be. Anyway, concerning the latest sellout, Representative Bob Good of Virginia called it a joke, saying Johnson is clearly more worried about Ukraine than the border, the non-existent border with Mexico. And Thomas Massie said on X that Johnson plans to pass the rule for the $100 billion foreign aid package using Democrats on the Rules Committee. And he added this. This is the line that Gateway Pundit put in the headline from Thomas Massie. This is the uniparty reveal. In other words, one more time, they're not hiding it. It has nothing to do, folks, with even party lines. It has to do with who is pulling the real strings, who is on the deep state payroll, communist Chinese payroll, who wants you dead, who wants the country dead and destroyed, who wants to put a wooden stake in the republic, and so forth. Oh, which reminds me, I'm going to do one more line here. This is funny. It's just a gaffe from the senile cretin, but he has basically been in Pennsylvania talking to steel workers. I saw at least one wag said this was perhaps the most gaffe-ridden fall-apart meltdown of somebody who's too senile to even be a good nursing home candidate in American history. And it goes like this. Biden's speech was full of gaffes and lies. I'll try to see if I can read this, and I have not got the recordings yet. Maybe I'll pull them off and play them. But here's one of them. I see a future with a planet. Huh? We saved the planet as this guy, and this was a guy that was removed for trying to heckle the guy. Biden didn't even know what was happening, I don't think. Busting his neck doing from climate change. Yeah, that's what we're going to save the planet from climate change. Literally, said the Biden Fuhrer. And then he dropped this. Ready? Listen to this carefully, and I'll try to read it as accurately as I can, and I've watched the recording. Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America, shouted the Biden Fuhrer. And the irony, of course, is they're getting ready to tell you you have to choose democracy. And democracy, folks, was never the form of government, as everybody with any understanding of the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and the founders knows. Two wolves and a sheep voting for dinner. That's why they put all those things in the Constitution that are anti-democratic, from the bicameral House to the power of the president, the real one, to issue a veto, to two-thirds majority for a number of things, to, of course, the very Bill of Rights itself that they're gang-raping, which says, I don't care how many people vote for it, they can't take away your right to freedom of a speech, assembly, worship, or to keep and bear arms. They are going to take away, they already have, your right to be free of illegal search and seizure. Okay. You get the point. This is so far over the top, so beyond the pale, that, yeah, even the word insane no longer cuts it. As I've said, they have no shame. And what we're seeing now is this confluence of so many things coming together that it's hard not to recognize how far gone things are. Now, there's one more piece in here that I just want to mention by way of completeness. There is a movement and momentum growing quickly, says The Hill, to oust, to vacate the scumbag Johnson, just like they did with the scumbag before him, as you may recall. And what is being talked about, now this is not confirmed yet, but they're saying Johnson is going to try to move to alter the rule that allows people to move to vacate him. In other words, he's going to change the rules to protect his own job, given that now he knows, and everybody knows, he's a sellout. The way they ousted former Speaker McCarthy was with the help of people like Matt Gaetz of Florida. And he said he wouldn't yet commit to supporting Johnson's removal over that rule change, but he did say that would be the last straw if he tried to do that. And by the way, so did Lauren Boebert. She said that would be a red line for sure. Said Gaetz, I think a motion to vacate is something that would put the conference in peril. And Ms. Boebert and I are working to avoid that. He said, our goal is to avoid a motion to vacate. In other words, they don't want to have to do it. But we're not going to surrender that accountability tool to a guy who I'll say is a scumbag already. And we know where this is headed. So it's kind of fascinating. Again, so many things coming to a head. Now, with that, I want to introduce just two more kind of related stories. One is a nice summary that I saw from the people at the All News Pipeline. That's it. And now I've misplaced it. I'll find my copy. Here we go. The headline says, in the long run, it's all about the globalists taking our land, well, among other things. And they basically put together, this is Anthony Emanuele for the All News Pipeline, they put together a pretty good list of the many ways government can hijack, seize, appropriate, and take control of land. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing because it's about a page and a half long, but I'll give some of the best summary parts of it. They use eminent domain, we've seen this going back years, to take private property, even personal property, intellectual property, allegedly for public use, but hey, guess who's buttering their bread? They gave the green light, as you recall, to the CDC to enact what they called eviction moratoriums. That was as unconstitutional as hell. There's no authority for the CDC to do anything like that, much less to say that landlords can't raise rents, but they did. Because it's all about protecting the public, because we're going to lock you in there, and we're going to do all these things to destroy the businesses of people. How better to do that than to prevent landlords from being able to break even? And eventually what they'll have to do, they'll have to sell their property once we squeeze them. And they did in many cases. They expanded national monuments, created new ones, and earmarked all this stuff for protection so that it became off limits, not just to the recreational pursuits that that Americans once enjoyed, but also, more importantly, they became off limits to drilling, mining, exploration. We saw that happen with the big coal field in Utah during the Clinton regime. Some of this isn't new. They're just upping the ante and expanding the things that have been demonstrated to work so well. There have been environmental and operational regulations on American farmers and ranchers to increase their cost of compliance, the number of permits that it takes to just stay in business. And there are other ways they're trying to destroy farmers and ranchers, too. There's a whole list here. The goal is to bankrupt them so that they do what? Are forced to sell their land. That doesn't work. We've got diseases, man-made in most cases, and almost in every case, arguably so, like the bird flu, that if they infect even one animal, you've seen this for several years now, they come in and they kill hundreds, thousands of chickens. They'll wipe out an entire business or somebody that's got them. They intend to be able to do this to people that aren't even in commercial operations, folks, so be aware of that. Forcing ranchers to cull their entire herds and flocks so that what? Well, not only can you destroy the farmers and ranchers that way, better still, you can force the famine that's coming to be even worse than it's already planned to be. They've been burning things out, destroying warehouses, food production lines, and all of the elements required to bring something from the farm to the table. They're doing it in Europe, as you've seen. You got farmers there in massive protests. And the result? We want you to eat bugs. Yeah, we want you to eat bugs. Animal-based protein? No, not for you. This is the World Economic Forum. And if all of that doesn't work, well, hey, what are they doing in Texas? First, they arguably set fire to huge swaths of land. And then, after the fires were over, the Texas Forest Service bulldozed land that wasn't even burned by the fires. And yeah, said the ranchers, this actually happened. Then we've got carbon capture. This is a technology that's supposedly going to prevent carbon from being emitted, or it gives us an excuse to steal more land. The result is the same, bogus non-science about a problem, which is carbon dioxide. Well, animals exhale, so do humans. Anyway, it's about blazing a pipeline right through miles and miles of open land, with the result that the landowners, or so they thought, along the proposed pipeline, mostly in South Dakota, are threatened by the greedy carbon capture companies, allegedly, but not really, to save Mother Earth. Because, hey, we don't care about the God of the Bible, but we do worship Mother Gaia. They're raising transfer taxes on home and business assets in America. This has been going on, as you know, for years. They tax the heirs of a property so much that they can't afford to keep it. They break it up. They have to sell it to pay the taxes or to basically deal with whatever the compliance rules that are being put in place. And guess what? That house is no longer available for farming and ranching, but well, the multi-trillion dollar asset management firms, you know the names, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and others, and some other so-called trustees and big land operations run by supposedly green entities. No, they're not. They're basically just trying to buy up land. They buy up everything from major swaths of land. I've seen, I don't know how many, literally a dozen or more offers to buy your land for pennies on the dollar. Hey, if you're finding that you can't pay the taxes on it, I guess there are people that might fall for that. Anyway, they're snatching up single-family homes now so that those homes become out of reach for American families. Then they can crank up the rents and make the slaves even poorer and remove any possibility of them ever even thinking. that they own their land. Not enough, they pay rent in the way of property taxes. We'll force them off any way we can. Then there are ESG polities, environmental, socialist, governmental. They designate things like nitrogen oxide and ammonia as pollutants. Well, they're actually called fertilizers, folks. It's all about reducing carbon emissions. No, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. Carbon emissions meaning you. If you starve to death, you don't emit any carbon. And they just bury you underground. And the carbon that's in you goes back to dirt. Actual goal is obviously to regulate farm animals out of existence and to put thousands upon thousands of farmers and ranchers out of work. This has been happening quite some time now, and I mentioned this in the Netherlands, most of Western Europe, India. It's already led to starvation in Sri Lanka, and they intend to take the test that was so successful there, move it here. They're informing tenants and property owners in Great Britain already that their homes are too large. Yeah, that is place for you? No, it's place for foreign invaders. Got to make way for the illegal aliens. How long do you think it's going to be until they start doing that? Well, wait a minute. Who are we kidding? They're already doing it in Arizona. Somebody comes across a farmer's land and he says, hey, you threatened me with a gun, I shot you. Well, you didn't have to say that. They're trying people like the rancher in Arizona for first-degree murder, or maybe they've dropped the charges to second-degree murder now. But the point is, you peons do not have a right to defend yourself from what we intend to do to you. You've got illegal aliens camping out in places. You've got vultures like Bill Gates and the Communist Chinese Party, but maybe I repeat myself, buying up all the American farmland that they can, and, well, for whatever reason. Guess what's not going to be produced on the farmland? Yeah, you can guess. And essentially making it impossible for owners to evict squatters, too. That's part and parcel of guess what? The coming time when they will simply take over and let the squatters come in and take people's... Well, wait a minute. They're doing that already, too. As the story goes on, it says, wait a minute, but that's not it. That's not the end of it. There are other things. The next three involve murder. We know now that the not vaccines were never real vaccines. They changed the definition. They produce the mRNA and inject it with lipid nanoparticles, graphene oxide, all kinds of things that incapacitate the recipients, make them sterile or give them other maladies that kill them en masse. And furthermore, they become little spike protein factories. And result? Well, when they die, all the things that we've been talking about end up causing vacancies in homes and land because they're dead or in the hospital or they can't pay the rent. And without vaccine-free occupants, guess who gets them? Can you begin to see a pattern here? Lahaina, remember what happened there? They incinerated a lot of people there, and they instructed the cops to block all the exit routes from the fire, leaving the owners of the land and their heirs to burn to death. As Governor Josh Green said to one reporter on television, quote, I'm already thinking about ways for the state to acquire that land. You can almost hear him drooling, can't you? And that's part of the reason why I don't think we've heard much more about it. And even with 2,000 or so kids missing, are they now being sex slaves or are they just carved up and made sacrifices to Satan? Well, we don't know, but guess what? You're not going to find out. They put a blockade on any information. They prevented drones from flying over there. They put up blackout walls and barriers around it, kind of like they did when they rigged the election so people couldn't see what was going on. We know the reason now, don't we, if we have any intelligence at all. And they are now arming, and I mentioned this story. It's funny. You got leftist judges that don't believe that American citizens have a right to keep and bear arms, and the wording of the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. But isn't it funny? They managed to read the wording correctly when it's illegal alien invaders that want to join up with their communist Chinese and MS-13 and Hezbollah and other cells and kill Americans. They have been given the right to keep and bear arms, and they're even probably going to get subsidized like they get an Obama phone. They'll get an AR-15. Anyway, with the result that the land and property of innocent American men, women, and children is being, and that's the intent, and who are we kidding, taken by force. All right, I mentioned all of that. There's a whole lot more in the piece, but that is just kind of a capsule summary of things that if you, and I know most listeners have been paying attention, you're already aware of. And I want to mention one or two more things. These are on the financial front expressly. This comes from a piece by Charles Hugh Smith of twominds.com. I like his work. He has a he, along with other Austrian economists, has a pretty good understanding of what's happening and how debt bubbles inevitably collapse. We're now in the biggest debt and fiat currency dishonest weights and measures bubble in all of human history. And he says the following about a forecast. He said, I don't like my forecast. It's not just me talking my book. Not liking it or liking it has nothing to do with it. The truth is that the opinions of the Titanic passengers who didn't like the fact that the ship was sinking, well, it didn't affect the outcome. So he makes some pretty good points here, and I'm going to use this as a way to try to say, understand this confluence is coming together. We need to be paying attention and preparing for things, even if we don't like what is being revealed. All right, number one, you already know that the global financial system is untenable. In a nutshell, he says, the expansion of production and consumption has been funded by the expansion of credit money, in other words, dishonest weights and measures, borrowed against future resources and income. In other words, burning the candle at both ends, sacrificing Peter to pay Paul. You've heard all kinds of ways of putting it. You can't print money out of nothing forever. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Tanstaffel. The rate of expanding debt now far surpasses the anemic rates of expanding production. The expanding mountain of debt is now perched precariously on what is called phantom collateral, generated by what another book, and he mentions this in here, is called the Everything Bubble, has pointed out. We see an astounding expansion of asset prices because those who have the easiest access to credit, in other words, those who get the newly printed money first, can buy up and bid up every asset class, from gold to real estate to Bitcoin to stocks to fine art. These are all phantom assets and phantom collateral because they were bid up only on the wings of cheap, abundant credit. Now, there's a lot of inside baseball in here, but bottom line is, if you can print money out of nothing, folks, and you get the first crack at it, you can use it to buy up what you can cheaper than everybody else who's going to have to pay more inflated, less valuable bucks for the same stuff later. And you get to sell it to those people and laugh all the way back to the bank where you get more free money. Among other examples, the commercial real estate sector is a real-time example of this. Half-empty buildings are being dumped, he says, at a fraction of their peak valuation, then sold again for even less as they're abandoned to default and liquidation. Hey, isn't that what we were just talking about? The theft of property and assets by any means necessary? We can do it by forcing people out, by running up the taxes and making sure they can't afford to pay it, by increasing the burden of regulation on them, or we can just print more and more money, give it to our buddies, let them buy it. Oh, there's another way if you're in New York. You can get them to take somebody like Donald Trump and steal his building, then sell it to your crony friends at a tiny fraction of what it's worth. And in the process, you can destroy the entire real estate, commercial market especially, and then you can buy more stuff with more fiat money. Last one available. You know, shut out the lights. This is a vicious circle. And what I'm pointing out, and so is Charles Hugh Smith, is once it gets started down, folks, well, look out below. It'll collapse like the Twin Towers, even without the explosions are already in place. All right. Now, he says, and I'm not going to go through all of this, but basically he says the cost of keeping the everything bubble inflated, and it's impossible, is kind of like if you try to tell cops how to do their jobs and then prevent them from doing their jobs. So ultimately, he says, it leads to some conundrums that he wants to point out. And this is how I'll close out the show today. For one, says Charles Hugh Smith, it gives me no pleasure to say the obvious. Don't be naive. There are people who'll be trying to save the system from collapse. They understand that every asset is only richly valued now because of the credit bubble. So some of them are saying, and I would be with those who believe this is a good thing to do, maybe what you want to do is buy things that are real money, buy things that are real assets while you can. And so far, so good. The widespread belief, though, says Smith, is the hyper-wealthy will sneak through their wormhole and they'll emerge with all their assets in intact. But understand that even people that are buying gold and expecting gold will eventually explode may not have exactly what they planned when it's over, because guess what? If Big Brother knows who's got the gold, if they can come and steal it from you, just like they stole the land, do you think, since they have no shame, that they won't do the same thing there too? And furthermore, as the bottom 99%+ feel the squeeze, their rage at those at the top that they are being told aren't paying their fair share will rise exponentially. I foresee blood in the streets and a French Revolution with lots of people seeing the guillotine. Remember, those that started it also ended up under the guillotine, like Robespierre. Another naive conviction, he says, is that the rules will stay unchanged. allowing people to hoard their stash and then scoop up the bargains offered by the less prescient. But understand, history is definitive. One emergency measure after another will be imposed, normalized, and they will do what they can to steal anything they can. And the important issue is recognize it is impossible to keep the system from collapsing at this point. And furthermore, they've just passed these surveillance rules. They're going to say, hey, we are going to listen to you. We know where you live. We know what you have. We monitor your emails, your text, and we will find you, and we will come and steal it. Well, that sounds all pretty negative, doesn't it? Well, certainly it does. And as we go to the music here, I'll simply point out, understand, folks, the reason why Yeshua says, see, I have told you beforehand is because he did. We have been. We recognize that this is coming, and ultimately there's only one solution, and that is to know who you serve and trust in him. Yes, we can do what we can to be prepared every other way, and we should. We certainly need to come out of her, but recognize that the only thing long-term that is going to save us is the creator of the universe himself and doing what it is he says we need to do and we have been told to do, when we can do it. So with that, I will say, hey, thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend, a blessed Passover, if you are keeping that this weekend. In other words, Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.